Blog Talk Radio.
One, two.
Ladies and gentlemen, with no further ado, let me welcome to the stage your host of the show, Stock Talk with Pedro, Pedro Thomas.
Thank you, DJ Innovator. I appreciate that. I'd like to thank everybody and blessings to everybody for coming on, listening to the show. This is our first official show, and I would just like to say it's just a blessing to start this journey with DJ Innovator with this project of the Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show sponsored by P&T Multimedia Group and Publishing LLC. First off, I'd like to start out by saying you should just a few things that I think everybody should know before we really get started. You should know that we are not professional stockbrokers or investment professionals by trade. We are not advising anyone in any form or fashion to follow our footsteps or corktail of investments based off of our perspective, that we only are providing information and insight through open dialogue. So basically, this is just an open forum. Basically good cop, bad cop, and just giving information that is basically public knowledge. You should conduct yourself with your own personal research before getting involved in the world of investing. So whether that be real estate, crypto, stocks, ETFs, doesn't matter, I-bonds, doesn't matter. Always do your research. Therefore, P&T Multimedia Group and Publishing LLC does not take any responsibility nor accountability for any financial and or profits, losses that you may incur or experience or trying to emulate our personal investment strategies that we will be discussing periodically throughout the show, period. So without further ado, let's get into it. DJ Innovator, a lot has been going on. A lot has been going on in the world of crypto, the world of investing with stocks and ETFs. And, you know, just I'd like to report first off in talking about a few things because a lot of people really don't understand the concept of cryptocurrency and what coins are and in regards to what NFTs are. So I just want to quickly just give a little tutorial of that. What is cryptocurrency, people? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's cryptocurrency? Cryptocurrency is basically a digital currency, okay, in which transactions, okay, are usually verified all right? And records are maintained usually by a decentralized system using cryptographs, okay? All right? Rather than by a centralized authority. So basically, no ties to any banks, any real banks, okay? And so that's basically what that means, okay? It is also considered an alternative form of payment created using encryption algorithms. So that's really important. So that's basically person-to-person, peer-to-peer, individual-to-individual. I can send DJ Innovator crypto, and he can send me crypto as a gift or a donation. There's nothing illegal or wrong about that. A lot of people want to know what are NFTs, okay? And this is really a big thing as well. Like, so cryptocurrency basically consists of only two things, that are crypto coins and tokens and NFTs. That is it, people. It's nothing more, nothing less. Crypto is only dissolved two things, coins and tokens, and NFTs. That's it. Okay, so I know a lot of people, DJ Innovator, were confused about the notion of, oh my God, what's crypto? What's this? You know, what are these NFTs? You know, and basically, it's basically just cryptocurrency alone. You know, you got coins out here like Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is godfather. And Bitcoin is, you know, used in a lot of countries around the world. With that being said, Bitcoin is used here in the U.S. But some people don't know what Bitcoin is. And so with that being said, it's usually a lot of people that will not invest because they don't know really what the ins and outs of the coin is. Really, what's cryptocurrency? Well, I just kind of explained it. You know, it's basically software. Okay, that are basically broken down into coins. But those coins are not like, I'm not going to say they're not real, but like you won't have a coin in your hand. It's all digital. So, and I think that's the thing that really people need to understand is that this is strictly, you know, a digital asset. You know, these are digital assets. These coins, these NFTs, they're all digital. So with that being said, I like to explain what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is a type of digital currency in which a record of transactions, okay, and maintenance are new units, okay, of currency that are generated by computational solutions. Okay, so again, these are digital assets. Bitcoin is a digital asset, and it's, you know, it's been rumored that it's surrounded around digital gold. Okay, a lot of people have referenced Bitcoin to be, you know, digital gold. You know, don't quote me on that, but again, I'm just stating what others have stated, because you know, a lot of people think they're crypto experts out here, and they're not. I think that's pretty funny as well. When people are like, oh, my God, you know, well, I talked to a crypto expert. I'm like, well, how are they really experts? I mean, they may know more than you, but and they may invest more because they have more capital to invest, they have more money to invest. But, I mean, that doesn't necessarily make them an expert. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, rich dad, poor dad, you know, what makes him a crypto expert? He's not a crypto expert. Okay. You know, again, this is the same person that downed crypto and talked about Bitcoin and Ethereum and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden, less than a year later, it's, okay, I'm a crypto expert now. You should invest in Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's like, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know about that. coming from that individual? Not sure. No, I don't think so. So, I mean, if that's what all I had to go by. But, I mean, there are other, like I said, there are no crypto experts, in my opinion. I put that out there. I don't believe they're crypto experts. I just believe they're more individuals who are better within the space due to the fact that a lot of it has to do with not only the knowledge of, but they have the money to invest, the capital to invest. So I like to go into what Ethereum is. That's another big cryptocurrency coin that a lot of people hear about. They control the gas fees and what they call digital gas, not actual gas, but like petroleum or ether or anything like that. But they control the gas fees as far as the energy and the software that's being burned from a computer, laptop, or whatever, in regards to trying to mint coins. Ethereum is, you know, one of the top dogs as far as they are a blockchain. And again, if you're minting certain coins, cryptocurrency coins, more than likely you're going to have to go through Ethereum. Ethereum's going to get a fee. You're going to pay a fee to Ethereum. I know I pay fees to Ethereum when I do my crypto transactions because they mainly control the major blockchain. Even though there are millions, there are plenty, I'm not going to say millions, but there are hundreds of different blockchains out here. It's just a matter of who's popular, who's not. With that being said, like I stated, everybody should be familiar with Ethereum. Ethereum basically controls how you transact and swap other coins. Also, through Ethereum, a lot of times you will pay for the purchase of NFTs. I mean, there are a lot of things out here. And I think, again, based upon, you know, public, you know, based upon what most of the public would think, you know, what is that? You know, why is that important? What does it have to do with, you know, cash? I'm used to a bank. I'm used to centralized. You know, I'm used to going to work every day and cashing a check. But within crypto, it's like, you know, it's not centralized. And that, I feel, is what the problem is and the reason why there are a lot of people that are like, yo, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to invest in this because I don't want to be robbed. I don't want to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be set up to be robbed and my coins are taken, NFTs are just snatched, you know, due to being hacked. And that's a lot what's going on. You got billions and billions of dollars that have been in coins and NFTs that have been stolen from a multitude of different entities. And that in itself has been the reason why I'm just like, you know what? Let me take a halt. Let me take a step back because I don't really know exactly if I keep moving forward as far as investing in crypto, you know, am I going to become a target as well? Because again, investing as a whole is a risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter if it's crypto, it doesn't matter if it's investing in stocks, ETFs, online trading, real estate, everything is a risk. Even owning a home, because investing, real estate is part of investing. It's part of the branch, the investing branch tree that I like to call it. You know, real estate, everything has a hack to it. You can be hacked in any area. You know, when you had people with these Airbnbs, the Airbnb hacks, that was like $600 million hack. I mean, it's like really like you have to be careful. So it doesn't matter if it's crypto, if it's buying a stock share or putting in an online trade on, you know, Apple or Microsoft or Tesla or whatever you have, you know, Amazon, Google, whatever. It could be anything, an NFT, anything. It could be anything. You could be hacked. So everything is a risk. You know what I'm saying? But it's just some people, more people in some areas like taking those risks. You know what I'm saying? It's a chess game. And that's just exactly how I view it. Again, I'm not a professional or anything like that. I'm a conservative self-taught investor. I own real estate. I own crypto. I own NFTs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I own stock shares, ETF shares. I mean, you know, I've got my hands in everything. However, it's like one foot in, one foot out always. Like, I'm never comfortable. And so with that, I would say, and that's just my view. That's just my point of view. Again, people, we are not professional, you know, investors by trade. You know, we don't have degrees in this, not licensed. We are self-taught conservative investors. And so from that point and perspective, I'm just stating that, hey, this is how we roll, you know, and literally it's better to be on the train than off the train, in my opinion. You know, again, everything's a risk. You know, you have people out here getting hacked in crypto. You got people out here getting hacked in real estate with Airbnbs. You have people out here getting hacked as far as with their crypto coins, their whole entire wallets being completely diminished, crypto exchanges going down, people losing all of their life savings. You know, these things are really serious and they're happening. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay. And then, but it brings negative energy to the space. And what I'm saying is this, you really have to do your research. You really have to read and know what's false and what's not. You know, I mean, it's a dirty game out here. Again, it's a cold world. And it is what it is. You really have to be smart about it. And, you know, again, I take it as a chess game. You know, I'm just slowly making chess moves. You know, and again, I don't expect anybody to follow that. I'm just speaking truths. You know, I'm just speaking ultimate truths. So with that being said, you know, again, a lot of people don't even know what a stock is. You know, you have a lot of stock companies out here, penny stock companies, where these stock shares are only costing like maybe 5 cents, 4 cents, some half a penny a share. And people are just very skeptical, you know, you know, hey, I don't do that. I don't invest, you know, and it's just like, well, how's that adding up? Because, you know, if you are someone who is really focused on generational wealth, you know, working a job every day, a 9 to 5, is just not going to do it. You know, you, in some form or fashion, you have to invest. If that's not, I mean, because investing itself is still investing. So for someone to say, you know, well, you know, I opened up a business, you know, and all like that. Okay, you opened up a business, but yes, you are investing in yourself. But again, that takes, it takes money. You know, it takes money. That takes, you know, doing reading and, you know, accumulating knowledge and things of that nature. So with that being said, stock shares, ETF shares, ETF shares, by the way, people, are earned traded funds, okay? Earned traded funds, okay? And basically what that is entails are different companies that come together. Give you guys an example. So just in case, you know, people think I'm speaking Chinese. A ETF share is something like, and DJ Innovator, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like VanEck is a really good example of an ETF company, ETF commodity company, where they have a mixture of different corporations that make up one share. So for example, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Tesla, and I think Alibaba is under one of the VanEck ETFs shares or ETF IPOs. And man, I mean, so it's just not like solely investing in a company. You can actually invest in a ETF share and get a mixture of all of those different companies. You know, you don't have to like go to each individual company and buy a share. You don't have to do that. You know, you can easily go on a platform that focuses on stock shares and ETFs. A lot of people are familiar with Robinhood. Other people are familiar with Webull, Public, Moomoo. There are a lot of different others. E-Trade, Thinkorswim or something to that effect. I think that's a form of E-Trade. And Charles Schwab, and the list goes on and on. But with that being said, like literally, you can go in and buy these shares, and you don't have to buy full shares. You can buy, they have something called fractional shares that literally, if you only had $5 to left over after bills are paid and food is in the fridge and, you know, you got the bus pass or the gas for the car in the week to get to work and you got $5 left over, well, guess what? That's five fractional shares that can be put on any one of those companies.
Let me jump in with you.
I mean, it's just like that easy. You know,
all right.
Innovator, what do you think?
So I just wanted to jump in and acknowledge that we got a couple of listeners that have logged in a few minutes into the show. So I wanted to just acknowledge your listeners. You have someone from a 24 area code, also a 773 area code, a 630 area code, and an 847 area code, and also a 615 area code. So it looks like you got some listeners from Illinois and you got some listeners from Tennessee where I'm at. So I just want to acknowledge everyone that's listening and also let you know that we have a chat room if you're listening online via blogtalkradio.com. So if you have any questions or you want to, chat or get involved in the show, you are definitely welcome to do that. And I just wanted to also reiterate that if you are new to the show, we are here to really just open the doors of information for folks that don't necessarily have knowledge on stock ETFs and Bitcoin and those things. So there may be some listeners that are listening and they know all of this. We're definitely appreciative of you listening, but just wanted to let you know that we're also trying to empower the folks that are just new to the space and really don't have an idea what's going on, but want to get involved. So I also wanted to touch base on the ETF that you were talking about. That's really how I got involved in the space. And fractional shares, at the end of the day, back in the day when I was a kid, I heard about the whole stock market deal. And, I had, my parents had friends that were, more or less involved. But the average person from the community that I represented, they just weren't in that, space, so to speak. They just were not invested.
Right.
So, we're the new.
Which is understandable. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So me personally, besides, having a 401k and stock within companies that I work for, it opened up, maybe a few years ago when, trading became more accessible, especially with, the Robinhoods, like you said, and when you know, Schwab and all the others started making it more accessible via the phone. I mean, you know, everyone right. has a phone in their hand. So True. That is really what opened the doors open to the new generation, you know, to get involved in this.
Right. Most definitely. I mean, I totally agree with that. And I would say I was total opposite in how I got into the space. I actually wrote a book, Stock Talk. You know, basically, I actually wrote a book, guys, My Haunted Tales of Crypto, Volume 1. And you guys, if you guys like to check that out, that's an ebook, first book ever written by myself. And I really go into a depiction of really my journey into crypto, but through in regular investing of stocks and things of that nature. And that's basically how I got involved, was through my grandmother and my father, who basically introduced me to the world of investing. My grandparents owned real estate in different states, cities and states. Meanwhile, investing, as a matter of fact, I like to tell the tale that this is a true story, that in between 1989 and 92, my grandmother retired from the city of Chicago as co-commissioner of the health department of all of the entire city. She used to be down at, I don't know if you guys remember, 510 North Festigo, down at Old Navy Pier, by Old Navy, where Navy Pier used to be. I think it was North Pier Mall used to be over there, DJ Innovator. But regardless of the fact, she told me about a guy by the name of, that she was reading the New York Times newspaper, and that she basically came across an article that talked about Bill Gates, William Gates, from who is now, you know, Microsoft. And it stated that he was stepping away from Apple and that he was going on out on his own, but the name of the company had not been exposed yet. Well, when it did get exposed and he finally came out, he dropped his IPO on the stock exchange, and my grandmother got wind of it. I cannot tell you how many shares she purchased, but let's just put it like this. However many shares she purchased at the time that she did, it afforded her to buy a $400,000 condominium in North Miami Beach, Florida, which was about five city blocks from Gianni Versace. With that being said, when she passed in 07, unfortunately, God rest her soul, basically the condo unit that she owned, that they owned, was probably worth about $1.7 million then. I mean, I can't imagine what that same condominium is worth in this day. You know, we're talking about 2007, it was worth $1.7 million. You know, this is 2022. You know, so I can't imagine how much it's worth now. But with that being said, all of that stemmed from her investing in Microsoft. So, again, I don't know how many shares she bought. That was undisclosed information to me. However, what she did invest afforded her that, strictly off of that. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, you know, what a lot of people don't really seem to realize is that, again, everything is a risk. But it's just like, you know, what do you choose to put your money in? There's no possible way that if you're on the avenue of generational wealth, that unless you invest in insurance policies, universal life, term policies, where there's a cash value, you know, where you can take loans against your insurance policy and it's not taxed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are facts. You know, those and policies are not taxed, you know, and that's why, you know, my family, my household has those type of policies. You know, again, it's a check, you know, again, the world of investing is a chess game, you know, and it's all about what moves you make. With that being said, I just want to talk about and report what's been going on. There's a lot of crypto and stock market tea, a lot of hot topics in the news lately. And I just want to really share this with the public, those listeners out there that are listening and paying attention and know what's going on. But literally, this, I'm going to go with this. State of California, innovator, the state of California, brother, has plans on approving the rule to ban gas-powered cars by 2035. Okay, I'm going to repeat that again. The state of California approves the rules to ban gas-powered vehicles by 2035, by the year 2035. So I'm just, you know, I'm just, man, it's just like, wow. You know what I mean?
Well, if you live in California, that might not be bad news, because the price of gas out there is pretty outrageous.
It's totally ridiculous. Warren Buffett is betting now on driverless trucks. So, hey, just giving everybody a heads up. Warren Buffett is betting now on driverless trucks. So what does that mean, people? He is investing heavily in the companies that are powered electronically and that can drive themselves. Okay? Basically like your Teslas and all of these vehicles that need that chip. Okay. Dell Technologies shares slip 8.3% on the lower quarter two profits. Canada's company OpenText is set to buy software firm Micro Focus in a $6 billion deal. That's big time. JCPenney, people, pushing for breakup or sale of barging company Kirby. A Delaware judge orders Twitter to turn over some data to Elon Musk. Reverse stock split. Shares fall 12% after a 1-for-25 executive split from the company after CIS.
What's their ticker?
Their ticker is ATS. The United States House chairperson demands Twitter to answer whistleblower allegations, people. Boeing, Intel share gains that contributed to the Dow's 170-point climb. Robinhood class action settlement gets the green light from a federal judge. The company October WTI oil loses $2.34, or equivalent to 2.5%, to settle at $92.52 a share on NYMEX, on the company NYMEX. That's NYMEX. Peloton CEO states in an interview that naysayers are looking at the company's $1.2 billion loss all wrong within the first quarter and second quarter. Again, I'll repeat.
Stop your brain. Let's not gloss over that.
CEO, hey, I'm just telling you what the CEO is stating, brother. He states, you know, naysayers are, you know, looking at the company's $1.2 billion quarterly loss in the wrong way, is what it's been reporting. Israeli drone tech provider Mobilicon stock rallied 60% following a $12 million U.S. IPO. U.S. stocks, NASDAQ, rallies fueled by companies NVIDIA and Amazon. I'm going to repeat, people, U.S. stocks, if you own shares in NVIDIA, if you own shares in Amazon, man, today was a good day for you guys. I know I got a couple of shares in both. Amazon strikes a green hydrogen deal with fuel cell maker Plug Power. Now, this is huge, people. This is huge. I will repeat. Amazon strikes a green hydrogen deal with fuel cell maker Plug Power, sending shares to skyrocket. Man, if you got Plug Power, I mean, I don't own any shares in Plug Power, and I'm not suggesting anything, but man, oh, man. Phew. The Fed officials prepared to raise rates again. The amount that they are trying to raise is unknown at this time. Again, Fed officials prepared to raise rates again. But it's all about inflation, right?
Right.
With crypto news, we have to report here on Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show. Meme coin, SHIB, Dogecoin shed double-digit losses over the past week. Bitcoin, BTC, price falls again as audit the Fed chair Powell's comments. So again, Fed chair, you know, again, in regards to this is surface around regulation. Ethereum merge drama continues as traders file in and they come back in. So they file out and then they come back in. Google, owned by the company Alphabet, Samsung, are among 40 big companies, okay, investing in the blockchain for the future. So I'll repeat, Google, also known as Alphabet, Samsung, are among 40 other big companies that are investing in the blockchain. Now, I'm not sure which blockchain, but as it stated, the blockchain. So if I had to bet, it would probably be Ethereum. Okay, and or Solana, it's one of them. DeFi, it's one of them. Dapps, it's one of them. Bored Apes and Moonbirds to get playable avatars in the new sandbox season. Ethereum Foundation confirmed September dates for the upcoming merge. Now, Ethereum is merging. I own coins in Ethereum, and they are merging. I actually staked my Ethereum to Ethereum 2. That's supposed to be coming out, and they speak of this. Coinstar, if everybody's familiar with Coinstar, you know when you go to a grocery store and you see Coinstar. Coinstar, and you put your change in and you get, you know, the dollar value for whatever, how many coins you have. Well, Coinstar moves beyond Bitcoin, adding Dogecoin and Ethereum to their ATMs. That's big, people. That's big. I'm going to repeat. Coinstar moves beyond Bitcoin, adding Dogecoin and Ethereum to their ATMs. That's huge. Man, now there's an event, DJ Innovator. I think the VMAs are coming up Sunday night. Man, in the crypto world, in the news, it is reported that Snoop Dogg and Eminem are to bring Bored Ape NFTs that they own to the VMAs in the performance titled Other Side Metaverse Performance. That's going to be dope. That is going to be dope. And the only reason I'm saying it's going to be dope, A, because I'm a Snoop fan, old school. Man, I like some of Eminem, but not that much. However, nothing against them. But, I mean, I'm deep in crypto. So, speaking of NFTs, I mean, in a performance based off the metaverse, wow. I mean, that's going to be something. That's going to be something. So, I look forward to viewing that. And that's supposed to be on the VMAs coming up this Sunday, August 28th at 8 p.m. on MTV. If you got cable, stream, check it out. So DJ Innovator, what is your outlook on the crypto world? What's your outlook as far as, you know, all of these scams and, you know, people losing life savings, investing everything. I mean, investing everything, you know, to the point where they can't even eat off ramen noodles and chicken noodle soup. I mean, they're literally like homeless, living in shelters, that type of thing.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I understand the whole scheme of things as far as investing and trying to build generational wealth, but you can't be stupid. You have
right.
to use your scruples when it comes to this space. And I think in one of our preliminary shows, we had a guest come on and he talked about, you know, investing and, you know, don't invest no more than you can lose. And I'm a very moderate, you know, small time investor. So I can't speak to, you know, someone losing their house or car or something like that, because that just, you know, that's the get rich quick scheme that, you know, I've heard about growing up, and that's not something that I could, you know, get into. You know, I have to pay all the bills first, and then what's left over is considered as, you know, in what I would, you know, look at investing. And yeah, to keep the roof over here first, man, you got to do the smart stuff. I mean, this investing thing, you know, we talk about building generational wealth, but you're not going to build it in a day. Rome didn't happen in a day. You know? So
correct.
This is over time. And I think that a lot of when you hear building generational wealth and when you hear mm-hmm. about generational wealth, you got to think right. about it. It came from a previous generation or several generations, and it's old money, and that money
correct.
Money
correct.
That typically is from insurance policies, good insurance policies, you know,
mm-hmm.
Where grandma, great grandpa left money, and they had money, and they left money, and the people that inherited did something smart with it, and they have money. But
mm-hmm.
you know, just
it just looks like a never-ending story. It just
yeah.
triples right from one point to another point to another point, and that, you know, yeah, I get you, and
yeah,
you're absolutely right. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but here's the thing. How many of us are privy to actually experiencing generational wealth? I mean, really. I mean, that's a question I have to anybody listening. Is, you know, how do you experience generational wealth? You know, I mean, or let's put it like this. My question would be, is it, do individuals who did not experience generational wealth of their grandparents and or parents, God rest their souls, living or not living, were able to set policies up to leave and or not only policies, but like pensions and 401ks, you know, deferred comp, you know, nationwide, all like that. If they were able to set that up, then, you know, if they weren't able to set that up and they didn't experience that, how do they go about in this time, day and time, of trying to create generational wealth for themselves and their children? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, do they find it harder because, you know, or tougher because they didn't experience that growing up, you know, or, you know, is it, you know, or is it just like, no, it really doesn't matter, you know, if they did or if they didn't, it's the same hustle. You know what I'm saying?
Let me speak on that. So
yeah.
I don't come from generational wealth. Come mm-hmm. from, you know, and I'm just being real. Let's take it to the real of the real. I come
sure.
from a family that didn't have a lot. So,
right.
You know, I had one you know, a grandmother on my dad's side who was extremely, she didn't have a lot, but she had good common sense. She got those life insurance policies when the kids and grandkids were young, and she kept them so they were old enough.
Right.
And she kept them even over, you know, she kept those policies as long as she was alive. And that was all she had. And in some instances, that was all that she, you know, like she didn't make money from those because she didn't have a whole lot. So she had the very bare minimum. If someone died, they were able to be put in the ground.
Right.
And when you come from money and you have money, of course you can buy larger policies. So that's one form of generational wealth when you were able to inherit from that. But a lot of people are made, you know, a lot of people, they come from, you know, well-to-do families that have been educated and, you know, they've been taught financial literacy. Like, so as we do this podcast, we are really going to delve into financial literacy. So I'm going to jump around real quick, but I'm going to turn it back over to you. But yeah, so my grandmother, she, what I saw from her, what I learned is to, at the very minimum, have an insurance policy. And that was what I learned from her. So I think that that's the biggest thing that we need to be teaching lessons to ourselves and to our children as we get older. So yeah, I didn't come from generational wealth, didn't see it. We, and this is of other family members, we had to borrow big, plead, you know, delay funerals for a week or 2 weeks till we could, you know, garner up the money and people could pitch in to bury somebody. And that's what I've seen a lot of. And that is something that I didn't want for my immediate family. I mean, I do GoFundMes to help other people, but for my immediate family, I wanted to be able to be okay. And so that's where, when you talk, we talk about financial literacy. I don't drive the fanciest things. I don't buy the most expensive things. I'm not going to be one of these people. Now, and I just say this, for the people that can do it, great, but I can't. Pop collars, I pop brands. I can just, you know, do my, my you know, frugal shopping at the stores that have some name brands, but I don't I don't go out to the
Marshall.
Hey, listen, hey, that's my backyard. Don't talk about my business.
Oh, it's real.
But
hey, Marshall's,
I don't do Saks Fifth or none of that. But by being frugal in my lifestyle, it affords me the ability to have certain things and do certain things and to invest. So by not paying a $500 car note and paying a $250 car note, I'm able to take that money and do different things with it and invest frugally. I see return on that stuff. So or get a decent policy that's $250,000 versus a $50,000 because I have a little bit more money to do that. So I do things like that. So I think that when we talk to our peers and this show is, hey, sometimes you got to dial back some of your spending to look like you have money and use that money to invest so you have money.
Correct.
So I think that's the biggest lesson that when I talk about Stock Talk with Pedro and this show and being a part of it, I want to help people learn that it's wiser to have it and not look like you have it than to look like you have it and not have it. Because I know a lot of people, man, they are struggling to put on this appearance. They got it going on.
Correct. That's true. And I'll tell you this. It's funny that you speak on that because, you know, I think in some ways the way I invest, me personally, like I'm gotta be added to the list of being ahead of my time. Like someone who invests before their time or before the time of an explosion of a project or project. You know, and I'll give you an example on my investing in real estate entities. I own 53 real estate entities with, you know, and again, people state like, oh, my God, like, how is that possible? And I'm like, well, it's real. You know, it's because as we're moving forward, movies like Ready Player One, which I think a lot of people need to go check out. Ready Player One, movies with Justin Timberlake in time. Those movies, Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day, those type of movies, even Blade Runner with Harrison Ford, even back then, crypto was, or digital decentralized was.
In a lot of those movies, it wasn't spelled out as crypto.
Correct. It was spelled out as digital.
It was fluid the same way.
Not crypto, but digital. So in regard to that, that's digital is decentralized. It's not centralized. So with that being said, what I'm stating is this. Those movies, which, you know, Hollywood, you know, quote unquote, basically exposed the space. Movies like The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, that, you know, was off of, talked about Jordan Belfort. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, these different types of movies, you know, Rounders. Rounders talked about gambling and poker and, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that type of thing. So all of these different movies, Hollywood-based, give you depictions or have given depictions of what people are going through every day. Yeah, there are people living from outside their means. There is a such thing called, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are such things called, you know, Walmart instead of going to expensive jewels or Albertsons or somebody going to Kroger or Publix. You know, go to a cheaper store and purchase your goods, you know, healthy, you know, or whatever your vice is. But however, you know, like, dumb it down. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people don't understand that they have disposable income.
But a lot of people don't understand that they have disposable income. And people.
Because priorities.
Right. Well, some people don't even know what disposable income is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So instead of, and I'll give an example. Paying, you know, receiving a bill in the mail. So you got a light bill, gas bill, phone bill, a cell phone bill. Well, disposable income is basically based off of, okay, going through a budget, making a budget sheet. The creditor is not going to cut your service off if you pay partial bill, if you set a payment plan and pay partial bill. There's disposable income. Or if you're someone that just like, no, I don't do that. I just pay it all, blah, 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 every single month. Okay. Well, you can take disposable income from another entity within your lifestyle. Instead of purchasing a pair of Jordans that cost so much money, let's say, for instance, $500. Let's say $500, for example.
Right.
The shoes are $500. Well, why can't you go spend $100 on a pair of Air Force Ones or $150? That way you got $450 to $350 of disposable income left, and you could go and invest that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can invest that in something, buy fractional shares in something. You know, Apple, again, Microsoft, Tesla, Amazon, Google, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's a plethora of different options. But it's like, man, it just, you know, at this point, it's just like, you know, what is it all about? You know, what is it all about? What are people going to decide to do? Are you going to live outside of your means and be like, nah, I don't want to invest? Or are you going to take a risk? Because, again, it falls back. There goes that word again, risk, R-I-S-K. It's a risk. Everything is a risk. Buying a home is a risk. Because guess what? Again, remember I stated earlier in this episode about the Airbnb scandal, Well, there's also been incidents on when people buying homes, they're not knowing that there were taxes owed on the property. So that becomes a problem. Okay. And man, it's like, okay, how do you get so, I mean, people get swindled or there were liens on the property.
Yeah. You got, you got to do your due diligence. So, I mean,
but some people don't do that, but
when you make that kind of a purchase, like a home, you have to do due diligence. That's just, it, you can't be so eager to buy a home that you bypass many things. And I've heard people do it, but, you know, I've purchased three homes going on number four, and you do all the work that's required. You get, you know, quick claim deeds. You find out if there's liens. You know, there's you have to do your due diligence. Like to buy a home and then find out it's taxes owed, you didn't do due diligence. You didn't have a good realtor. You didn't have a good team. Like there are just things that if you have a really good realtor, they're going to help you along the way to do and ensure that that purchase is great or works for you. Like, you know, early in the game, I had a realtor that was like, hey, you want a great home warranty. So anything that breaks, anything that you have to deal with, you're not stressing over it, you know, to deal with it. And if you have a good one, they'll cover a lot of stuff and you got to keep paying it yearly. But, you know, I've had a great one. So I've avoided a lot of, you know, out of pocket payments that would have cost thousands. So there's things that you learn along the way. But what you're speaking to, we have to become extremely more literate in just the things that we do as a culture, as a people. And we have, it's a responsibility for those of us that do know to educate those that don't know. You know, one of the things that I learned along the way with my wife being a realtor is you can have friends that know how to do certain things. But when it comes to your specific business or your personal stuff, they will leave you out of those, you know, decisions and stuff like that because they don't want you to know their business. And we you know, I just happened upon a few people and they had some very, you know, questionable credit. So they didn't want me to know. So they bypassed my wife, who would not disclose that kind of stuff to me because that's how she handled her business professionally.
Right.
They disclosed it to somebody else because they were embarrassed. And it's like people live these lies of how well they're doing financially and they're not doing as well as they appear to be financially because they're not making good financial decisions. So
I agree.
We encounter that and it's just like, we got to be better at what we do. So we are heading into the last couple of minutes of the show. So I'm going to turn it back and thank everyone for listening to this show and turn it back over to you.
All right, DJ Innovator, thank you so much. And again, we would collaboratively like to thank everybody for listening in tonight. This was our first show launch. I think we did a great job, DJ Innovator. I would definitely like to shout out the brother, happy birthday shout out to Mr. John Fuchs, also known as Index 854. Happy birthday, brother. I would also like to shout out my wife, Tiffany, my daughter, Madison, for their support. My parents, Judge Thomas, my father, Peter the Fourth, for all of their support to launch this moment in time right now on Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show on the Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Stock Talk with Pedro. This is DJ Innovator, the executive producer, and I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the podcast. We've got a whole lot more coming your way, so stay tuned. We'll see you soon.